Our reading this morning is from John chapter 14, John chapter 14, and that wonderful passage of Scripture. We're going to read John chapter 14 and verse 1 to verse 14. So it's John 14, verse 1 to verse 14. Let me set the scene of this chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ has arrived in Jerusalem. It's the last time he is going to come to Jerusalem before the cross. He has come riding on a donkey. The disciples have prepared the upper room. They've had the Passover meal. Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples. He has told his disciples that one of them was going to betray him, and that was pointed out to be Judas Iscariot. And he has spoken about his death and about his resurrection. He has given them a command in chapter 13. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And Simon Peter has tried to argue with Jesus. He said to Jesus, why can't we come with you? Why can't we be alongside you? I laid down my life for you. And Jesus had spoken to Peter and said that in fact, he wouldn't lay down his life for him, but that he would disown him three times. And so the attitude, atmosphere in the upper room had changed. And the disciples had become sorrowful and sad. One of them was going to betray Jesus. We know from the other Gospels that Jesus had told them that they all would disown him at this point. They couldn't be with him in this path of the cross. And so he starts in chapter 14 by trying to encourage his disciples now who are troubled. Chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to that reading from his precious word this morning. Well, I mentioned Yuri Gagarin to the young people. Another thing that Yuri Gagarin said when he blasted off from that space city in Russia as the first man in space, and he said this, I can't see heaven. Well, he was a very silly man, wasn't he? He expected to see heaven blasting off there. But he said this, I can't see heaven. I'm not sure whether it was something that was spontaneous or whether it was something that was written down for him to say, because we're talking about the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics in those days, the atheistic communist party there, and they were probably trying to make a point to the people about no God, and maybe Yuri Gagarin was part of that propaganda that when he was there in space, he said he can't see heaven. But people are genuinely worried about where is heaven. If you speak to people who are perhaps not churchgoers and you talk about, they have a vague idea about heaven, they hope and they think that if they're good enough, they'll get to heaven in some way, and then they get worried. Where is heaven? They can't seem to see it, they don't know where it is. Another question that some people have genuine concerns about is, you know, how will heaven fit everybody who's died? How will they, people who think they're going to go to heaven, how will they all fit in there with heaven? So what we want to do this morning is to find out what Jesus says about heaven, and especially in that portion of Scripture that we read, John 14, and we're going to deal with just the first three verses of that chapter, John 14, verse 1 to 13. There we read, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God." Perhaps a better translation would be "believe in God." Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, and I love the Authorized version of this, are many mansions. I don't know, that sounds better than rooms, doesn't it? I read a recent modern translation, described it as many luxury apartments. For those who know and love the Lord Jesus, there will be those places in heaven. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am," says Jesus. So what is Jesus saying when he's trying to comfort, give comfort and encouragement to his disciples when they're sorrowful and they're troubled? What does he say? "In my Father's house are many rooms." If you like, many places, places in heaven. One of the things that we can say for certain is this: we'll not find heaven in the created physical universe in which we live, because God is a God of the physical and the spiritual as well. The universe that we can measure and see and examine with all these scientific instruments and telescopes will never be able in that physical way to detect heaven. They won't be able to put a satellite up in space with a great big huge telescope as they're doing and find some little corner of the universe with a little signpost saying this way to heaven. That won't happen, because heaven is in the spiritual realm. It's a spiritual dimension. But people get worked up about the size of heaven. There's millions or billions of people in the world today. Where will all those millions and billions of people go? And some people have real concern about this. If you talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses and you speak to them about heaven, they'll tell you that heaven will have 144,000 people in it. And I remember listening to a Radio 4 broadcast a few years ago when they were interviewing one of the leaders of the Jehovah's Witnesses in Britain, and he said, they've had some revelation that there's 138,000 places already occupied in heaven. So there's only 6,000 left. And so obviously the guy said, where are the rest of the people going to go? Oh, a new earth. All the other people will go to the new earth. But there's only 144,000 in heaven, they say. Well, that is absolute rubbish, of course. It's contrary to the word of God. But let's remind ourselves again what Jesus said. Jesus said, "In my Father's house." So let's have a look at that phrase for a moment. Just how big is God? Well, the answer is that God is infinite. Because that's one of the characteristics of God. You can't measure God. God hasn't got dimensions. God is the infinite God. He is the omnipresent God. He is the God who's everywhere. He is the infinite God. And if God's got a house, heaven, then heaven itself has to be infinite, doesn't it? If you want to house an infinite God, you have to have an infinite house to house God himself. So that means that heaven is big. Really, really big. So if the scientists in a few decades' time come and say, well, actually, we've measured the physical universe in which we live in. It's got finite dimensions. Well, actually, they seem to be suggesting even today that it has infinite dimensions, because the more that they examine how big the known universe it is, it keeps expanding and expanding. So every time they get better equipment, they see more and more of the universe. But if the physical universe was finite, then the spiritual heaven itself has to be infinite in order to be the house of the infinite God. Now, Jesus says, in my Father's house, in this infinite heaven, are many rooms, are many places. And that tells us this, that there are places in heaven for everyone. I'm sure you know this very well, everyone who believes in Jesus. Heaven is a place for those who's put their trust and their faith and their confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us this in an indirect way, because there in verse 1, that's what's behind Jesus talking about heaven. Do not let your hearts be troubled, trust in God, believe in God. Trust in also in me. Believe also in me. And then he speaks about heaven. In my Father's house are many rooms. And we make the connection, don't we? That those who trust in God, those who believe in God, those who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, are those who will be in the Father's house and will have their place in the Father's house. No one else. It is only those who put their trust and their belief in the Lord Jesus. And Jesus goes on there in verse 2, and he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he's emphasizing the fact this is the truth. And then he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you. Now, who are the you? They're the disciples, aren't they? They're the disciples he's talking to in the upper room. But it's not just the disciples, it's all the disciples. It's all the disciples from those disciples. It's all who, like those disciples in the upper room, are his followers, who've given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe in him completely. Well, let me illustrate what is being said here in this way. We say in verse 2 that Jesus is preparing a place for you. 2 months ago, I was at a ministers' conference in a place near Stoke. It was a purpose-built conference centre. It was huge. And I tried to get some of the ministers to come with me from the area. Nobody did, not even your pastor. Though I am going with him in a couple of weeks' time to Bala. But I was the only one from Swansea that went there. But what you had to do to go to this conference is you had to sort of book a room. You had to book your room in the conference centre. You had to pay your price. And that reminded me of the gospel. It reminded me of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Christ, through his death, the price has been paid for us to go to heaven. If we believe in him, the price has been paid, because the sin, our sin, has been paid for and dealt with in the blood of Christ. And Christ is here saying to his disciples, in the same way when I received an email saying by this conference, the room is booked. The room is booked and the price is paid and it's waiting for you. And what we're being told here is that by Jesus is not only is their place booked and paid for, but it's being prepared for them as well. And he says in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Let's think about that being prepared, that place prepared for us in God's house in heaven. In this conference, the room that I had when I arrived was also prepared for me. There were tea and coffee facilities. It was just like being in a big, huge hotel, really. The bed was made, the clean towels, there were instructions for the about the internet, and it was mine. That room was mine to occupy for the 4 days or so that I was there. And that is what Jesus is saying about us, to us, isn't he? If we believe in him and we trust in him, heaven is ready for us. The room is there for us. It's going to be ours, and it's going to be ours not for a four days for a conference, but it's going to be ours for eternity. But it is Jesus himself, we're told, who prepares the place for us. But he says something else even more wonderful. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." He's prepared the place, but he's also going to take us to the place. Isn't that wonderful? That's what verse 3 says. You have your room, you have your place in heaven, and Jesus is going to come and he's going to take you to that place. Now, in that conference that I went to, I didn't have anyone to take me to my room. They gave me, I'm going to say keys, but it was a key card. You know, one of those cards you have to slot into the door handle. I was given this key card. I was given this map of where my room was. And it was, first of all, you had to get it up, the right way up, and instructions about going into the building and the code in order to get into the building as well. Some places, not the places I go to when I'm on holiday, but some places, some hotels, they have porters, don't they? You arrive, you register, and then you get the porter who will carry your bags to your room and open the door for you. And that is, in a sense, what is being said here, that Jesus is coming to take us to that place that is prepared for us in heaven, that he has bought for us through his death on the cross, by dying in our place for our sins. But he says something else too, doesn't he? He tells us that he's going to stay with us, that he's going to be with us. He says in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." To be with me. To be where I am. Jesus is going to be with us. In that conference I went to, there was one thing that I wasn't looking forward to. It was a very big conference. There were over 300 ministers at that conference. And I traveled up by myself, and I had to find the room by myself. And I arrived early, and there were very few people there. And some of the people that were there, they were strangers to me. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know where they came from or anything. And I managed to find the place. It was a huge place. I didn't know my way around. I didn't know anyone. It was quite scary in a way. And I can remember getting into that room and praying. Praying that I might meet someone I knew quickly. And coming out of the room, getting ready to go down to the first meeting, I came out of the room and the first person I met was an old Bible college friend of mine I hadn't seen for years. See, Lord answers prayer wonderfully, doesn't he? Even in the small things. He doesn't just answer the great things, the big things. He answers the small things as well. The Lord knew how worked up I was about this conference and about meeting somebody I knew. And we had a wonderful time. He'd been before. He knew exactly where to go. And we caught up with things. And as happens, you find lots of new friends as well. You see, that it worked out okay for me, didn't it? I had my room that had been booked for me, that had been paid for me, that had been prepared for me. I found that room. I had a friend with me. And that's what this passage is about, isn't it? We who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, we have our place in heaven. It's prepared for us. Jesus is going to come and take us to be where that place is. And he is to be with us forever and ever. That's the believer's inheritance, isn't it? Yesterday, a former deacon of the church who'd been quite ill died. But the day before he died, I was with him in Morrison Hospital. And I was sharing with him what I was going to say to you this morning. And I was sharing with him, he was a man of great faith and great trust. He knew where he was going, and we were talking about heaven. And I was speaking to him about how Jesus had prepared that place for him, and that Jesus would come and take him to that place, and that there he would be with Jesus forever. You know, we talk warmly about heaven. It seems a bit sad, no, not sad, strange to the world, isn't it? When someone's dying, that there should be a smile and almost an excitement that they are going to die and be with the Lord Jesus. But that was what was on his mind. That was what was on his lips. There was that smile. He had run the race. He'd finished the course. And now he was waiting for Jesus to take him to that place where Jesus is and will be with us forever and ever. That is the believer's inheritance. But is it your inheritance this morning? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know your sins are forgiven and forgotten because Jesus died on the cross? And do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ will take you to be with him in heaven? Are you only hoping? Are you only hoping that because you think you're a good person, you're going to be good enough to go to heaven? Well, the Bible tells us you're never going to get that go to heaven that way, because there's no one good enough. There's only one who was good enough to pay the price of sin. Only one who could open the gates of heaven and let us in, and that's Jesus. And Jesus has promised, doesn't he? That's the great promise. That's the great inheritance for every Christian, every believer in Jesus, that Jesus will come and take us to be where he is. In a prepared place, our place in heaven, with him forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we ask your blessing then upon us as we thought about heaven. We pray that heaven itself may be something more real, more certain to us day by day. Because, Lord, the things of this world do press in upon us and can seem to be more real. And so forgive us, Lord, when we think more of this world than we do of the world to come. But let us hold on to that promise, that inheritance that we have, if we know and love Jesus, that we're going to be with Jesus forever and ever. Help us, Lord, to be a people who will be living this life on earth, working for the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, waiting for that time when we have finished our course and you have called us to be with you in heaven, with our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.